Turn to Ruth chapter 3, please, and we'll be making our way through the whole chapter. I had great intentions of going ahead and doing chapter 3 and chapter 4, but chapter 3 was enough. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing his barley tonight in the threshing floor, at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he had finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and then you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." Act one of this wonderful little love story is about a family that decides to make a decision based upon what they see going on within their land of famine. They hear there's food down in Moab. So they said that they would sojourn down there for a bit. For a bit turns into 10 years. And in the 10 years, Elimelech dies, his two sons die, but Naomi inherits a couple of Moabite daughter-in-laws. Her sons would get married. And you know the rest of the story. Naomi hears that there's food in Bethlehem. She decides, you know what? It's time to fish or cut bait and head back to the house of bread because I've been in the washpot way too long. She tells her daughter-in-laws. The daughter-in-law said, "Hey, we'll go with you." One daughter-in-law kisses her and the other clings to her, and that's Ruth. They roll into town in the time of harvest and everyone's excited to see Naomi, but she says, "Call me Mara because I'm bitter. My time away from the people of God, my time away from God has left me with absolutely zero." Act two of the love story is Naomi goes out to glean from the fields. And Scripture says she happens to come upon this one field. Now, as we looked at the story last week, she didn't just happen to come upon this one field as we have been tracking with the story. And you've already read through this book or this portion of Scripture. You see God's divine hand in His care. Because within this one certain field, there's a guy named Boaz who is her kinsman redeemer. See, things are about to radically change for Naomi and for Ruth. And as we looked last week, we saw that Ruth was not just Ruth was a woman that really took the Lord at His word. She didn't mind getting dirty. She worked from sun up to sun down. Folks notice Ruth. Boaz notices Ruth. Boaz says, "Hey, I want you to do this as well. You know, leave some more food for them on the ground and make things kind of easy for her." And she goes home with a lot of food. That's kind of where we left off last week, and I rushed through that. Let's get on to where we're at tonight. See, the romance is about to pick up some steam, but what we're going to see in Naomi is a woman who is going to give wise biblical counsel in regards to the situation. We need in our life, we need a Paul. I really believe this. A Paul, someone that we can go to for counsel. We need a Barnabas, someone that's just a good buddy we can yoke up with and share. But we also need a Timothy or maybe a Titus, someone that we can pour into what God has poured into us and pass along. But here's the thing. We can't pass on what we ain't got. End of story. You can only fake it and make it for so long until the rubber hits the road. I don't know about you. I don't really like folks that shoot from the hip with their counsel. I usually sniff that out pretty quick and I just ignore it. I may never say anything. I usually ignore it. But the folks that I want to glean from are folks that I know are yoked up with Jesus and I can go to them and they got some good biblical counsel in regards to circumstance. Look at the counsel that Naomi's going to give her. We already know that Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, okay? Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go in, uncovering his feet, lie down, and tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me I will do. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, now think about the context of time here. Harvest time has come to an end, and Ruth has been gleaning from one field, Boaz's field, which meant they have spent quite a bit of time together around each other in a public setting. It's the wheat and barley harvest. This is plenty of time to observe each other in a public setting, to see each other in a real setting. Have you ever worked in the heat? Who likes to get really hot and sweaty? How easy is it to get irritated when you're really hot and sweaty? I don't know about you good Christian folk, but for me, it's very easy for me to get hot when I'm hot and I'm sweaty and I'm tired, for me to, well, just become fleshly little Johnny. Okay? Now you think about all that has gone on in this gleaning and all the hard work that had gone on in this gleaning. They've had plenty of time to observe each other in their interactions with other people, their interactions with their work. This is good advice. If you could pass on anything to single adults, pass on to them the wisdom of observation. See, what you don't get in a dating situation, what you get in a dating situation is people put up fronts in those situations. Okay? You're not going to get a second date if you act like a doofus. It just doesn't happen that way. And I can remember when I was single, and I was single a long time, and girls would talk to me, and they would say, but when we first met, he was so nice. Well, of course he was. Okay? I know this guy. He's not a nice guy. Matter of fact, I tried to tell you that. But he did this, and he was doing this, and yeah, and then you got to know the dude. Dating's not the best way, and I'm not so sure dating is absolutely biblical either. I had my hand in it, and it didn't really produce a whole lot of fruit in my life, a lot of baggage. But when the Lord got me to a place where I finally figured out, man, I don't know what I'm doing here at 30 years old, but you know exactly what I need. And in time, he blessed me abundantly. And I tell, Margaret was that was the second easiest thing I've ever done in my life is marry Margaret, and that is no lie. It was easy. It was not stressful. I didn't freak out about it. We talk now about the fact that we only knew each other roughly 4 months before we got married. That's kind of scary. But God was in it, and he's faithful. She goes, shall I not seek a security for you? Naomi knew that Ruth could be best taken care of if she was married. So she is suggesting making an appeal to Boaz for marriage. Now this is not forward, by the way, because we know that Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. But listen to this from one of the commentaries I read. The Hebrew word security in verse 1 is the same word for rest in Ruth 1:9. When Naomi hoped her daughter-in-laws would find rest and security in the home of a new husband, the Hebrew word menawat speaks of what a home should be, a place of rest and a place of security. And I would think all of the ladies in here would agree that their number one need is security. I think so. Because you know what? At the end of the day, security is a good thing. And some girls, they take them a while to learn this because they think security is kind of a boring thing. They like those wild guys. But those wild guys, they can bring a lot of heartache and a lot of frustration. I used to tell single folks all the time, the second most important decision in your life will be who you choose to marry. The number one decision in our life is getting saved, accepting Jesus as our Savior. Number two is who you marry. Because a marriage relationship can produce so much joy, but it can also produce so much pain if you're yoked up to the wrong situation. Here's why Boaz is a good catch, by the way. Boaz, is he not our relative? She says in verse 2. Naomi's not scheming here. She's not trying to manipulate. This is about what the Lord has set up in Israel. Boaz is the Goel, the relative, sometimes translated kinsman redeemer, and he played a big role in the family life of Israel. The kinsman redeemer was responsible to buy a fellow Israelite out of slavery, Leviticus 25:48. He was responsible to be the avenger of blood to make sure the murder of the family answered for the crime, Numbers 35:19. He was responsible to buy back family land that had been forfeited, Leviticus 25:25. He's responsible to carry on the family name by marrying a childless widow, Deuteronomy 25:5-10. This guy is going to be a great place of security. They're not trying to manipulate circumstances and try to make something happen. They're working along the lines of what the Lord had set up. One scholar said this, "In this we see that the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, was responsible to safeguard the persons, the property, the posterity of the family." In other words, these guys are very important in the family life of Israel. You know what, God, what do you think the Lord thinks about what the United States has done with family? Family is important to the Lord. The institution of marriage is important to the Lord. And here we are trampling all over it. I shouldn't say we. I think all of us in here agree what marriage should be and what it looks like and what family is. I shouldn't say we here, but our culture. God always made this wonderful provision within His Word for family. Friends, what Naomi is proposing is not forward at all. God set this up. It's His idea. Naomi is giving good biblical counsel according to God's Word in their times. She's not shooting from the hip. She's not forming a plan. She's simply giving advice based on God's plan, which is wise biblical counsel. Proverbs 16:13 says, "Righteous lips are a delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right." Proverbs 16:16, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding to be chosen rather than silver." We have the full canon of Scripture. Immense in wisdom and how we're to navigate this life that God's called us to. How we're to navigate our marriages, how we're to navigate raising our children, how we conduct ourselves out in the workplace, and how we conduct ourselves in culture. Extreme amounts of wisdom. But the sad thing is most folks don't really seem to be wanting to receive any wisdom anymore. They'd rather have their ears tickled. Because see, once you really get exposed to truth, you gotta do something with it. You can either choose to ignore it, or you're going to receive it. Listen to what she says here in 2b in verse 5. "In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man till he's finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said, all that you say to me, I will do." Now Naomi's instructing Ruth in how she needs to move forward with Boaz to see if Boaz will go forward with the responsibilities outlined for him in God's Word. First thing, therefore, wash yourself. Men are men. Okay? Up to this point, how is she seeing Naomi? How is Boaz seeing Ruth? Pretty dirty. She's been working. Has he seen her cleaned up yet? All dolled up? All fixed up? No, Naomi knows a few things about men and their behavior. She instructed herself, doll yourself up and smell good. Anoint yourself and put on your best garment. Not only that, she says, leave Boaz alone while he eats. I mean, isn't that a guy? Isn't that a guy? Now, you remember when you might have first been out with your spouse and you guys would go out to eat or whatever and Cool Breeze would be hanging on your every word, you know, during the meal? Is that what happens now? I mean, you put the plate in front of him, what does he do? I mean, he just goes to town, right? She's giving her good counsel. Men are men. Just get all dolled up. Leave him alone. Let him finish what he's doing. And we'll go from there. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. Uncover his feet and lie down. When the time is right, Naomi encourages Ruth to uncover his feet and lie down. This has no physical connotations whatsoever, by the way. She's not trying to manipulate. She's not trying to seduce. See, in Ruth's day, the gesture of lying at her feet in the culture of their day was an act of total submission. It's what servants would do. They'd lay at their master's feet, waiting for their master to give them a command. So when Naomi and Ruth, or when Naomi instructs Ruth to lie at Boaz's feet, she's encouraging Ruth to approach Boaz in a humble and submissive way. Now, Ruth could have approached Boaz with the heart of, "Hey man, you're my kinsman redeemer. You gonna step up, bud?" I don't think she would do that. But think about it. She's not going there with a heart of, "This is my right." She's going in with a heart of humility and submission. Naomi's given some good biblical counsel. Approach Boaz humbly. Trust in the goodness and faithfulness of your kinsman redeemer. See what Ruth is communicating to Boaz if she lies at his feet? She's saying, "I respect you. I trust you. My life is in your hands." Guys, humility always wins in the end, by the way. And it's one of the biggest things that's neglected within the body of Christ. Biblical humility. Not "aw shucks," but really biblical humility. Submissive. You know, I've thought about this a lot. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you go to Sonic and walk in there and start making yourself a hot dog? No one would do that. Because you respect the authority of Sonic. It's just Sonic, though, right? What about Walmart? You walk in Walmart and just start putting stuff in the shelf and doing whatever you want to do and this and that. No, you respect the authority of Walmart. But it's Walmart. I mean, their stuff ain't that good anyway, is it? What in our right mind makes us think that we don't have to subject ourselves to the authorities within the body of Christ that the Lord sets up? Now, let's understand something about biblical authority. People who are in authority are supposed to be servants. Period. Washing people's feet. But if we can't humble ourselves in regards to leadership at Sonic, or if we can't humble ourselves in regards to the leadership that God sets up just straight across the board, how can we ever humble ourselves to Jesus who died on a cross? And I'm talking to myself, man. How many times do you ever get irritated when a cop pulled you over? Who likes to hear these two letters together? No. I don't. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond when you hear no? That says everything about our hearts. Humility always wins in the end. Jesus said this, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted." Oh, you didn't really mean that, Jesus. Yeah, he did. Murray said this once, "Men sometimes speak as if humility and meekness would rob us of what is noble, bold, and manlike. Oh, that all would believe that this is the nobility of the kingdom of heaven, that this is the royal spirit that the kingdom of heaven displayed, that this is godlike to humble oneself to become the servant of all." There is so much freedom if we grab a hold of this whole humility thing. See, there's no more striving in relationships with people. There's no more foot races. There's no one, "I want to be the loudest in the room so everybody can hear me." There's no more of that stuff. It's just, you know what? This is about Jesus. You know, I went to that thing on Tuesday night. Or it was Monday night. I went to it on Monday night. And they had some handpicked people that they were allowing praying. And all that was a foot race between those folks who was going to be the most spiritual. Okay, guys, you do that. I don't think Jesus is in of it. He says, "He will tell you what you should do" in verse 4b. See, the ladies have put all their eggs in one basket and they have no idea how Boaz will respond. But they do know this of Boaz. He is a good, godly man whom Ruth could confidently and safely lay at his feet, meaning submit to his leadership. I love what Guzik said. He said, "In a marriage relationship, many husbands wish they had a wife who would submit to them the way Ruth is being told to here. But do they provide the kind of godly leadership, care, and concern that Boaz showed towards Ruth and to others? In a marriage relationship, many wives wish they had a husband who loved and cared and treated them the way Boaz did towards Ruth. But do they show the same kind of humble submission and respect Ruth showed to Boaz? If my wife gets sideways, that's my fault. Because I hadn't done my job in my home. And that's a fact. I hadn't been the leader I needed to be. I have no doubts that if I'm doing what God's calling me to do in the manner in which He means to do it, my wife has no problem following me. But if I'm Neanderthal man, clueless man, don't care what I say kind of man, she ain't going to follow me anywhere. I guarantee you that. And that's on me. Me. Look at Ruth's response. Okay, to all the counsel that was given to her. And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." I think there needs to be some balance here. Ruth's response here and total submission here is based on trust. See, what these ladies are doing is based in God's Word. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. They're trusting the Lord. Also, this plan is based upon knowing the character of Boaz. They've been observing him. He has a good reputation in the manner in which he has treated Ruth and the manner in which he treats people. It's paramount. He's the real deal. They got to know the man. They're trusting he's not the type of guy to take advantage of a situation. Proverbs 27:19 says, As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Let's see if Naomi was right. Let's make our way through 6 through 18. Boaz, the harvest has come in, but understand this, he's about to get blessed beyond some grain. You know what? Scripture, if we get blessed with a wonderful godly wife, that is such a huge blessing. I am serious. And man, we need to treat them exceptionally well. So he went down to the threshing floor and did, and so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the heap of grain, and she came in softly and covered his feet and lay down. So she went into the threshing floor and did according to all her mother-in-law instructed her. Ruth doesn't just talk the talk, she walks the walk. See, Ruth's different than a lot of folks in regards to when they receive good biblical counsel. Some folks, they just hear it. They don't act upon what they've heard. Ruth goes forward with what she heard. But friends, this is nothing new for Ruth. Ruth's been going forward since we met her. Ruth went forward with Naomi out of Moab. Ruth went forward into gleaning the fields. Ruth went forward with Boaz's counsel. Glean from my field alone. Stay close to the girls in my field. Ruth's not only loyal, hardworking, she's also wise. And what makes her wise? She takes good counsel. She does something with it. She goes forward with it. Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Ruth's not a gold digger, she's a wisdom receiver. This dude is straight up about to get blessed. I tell you what, man, the day I married Margaret, I became a wiser cat. Because there are plenty of things that I'm just not very good at. And there are a lot of things she's really good at. After Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was cheerful. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Boaz has no idea how much he's about to get blessed after a long, hard harvest. He's married. He's just enjoyed himself. But there's one more thing about Boaz I want to point out. He still acts responsibly. He lays down at his heap of grain. Because remember the times that we're dealing with here. We're living in the days of judges during this time when there were raiders and people would come in and say, he's guarding the work. And it's not just for him. There's people that are dependent upon him. So see, he's willing to act responsibly and do what needed to be done and guard his grain. He's guarding the harvest, but now Ruth steps in. She came softly. Ruth did exactly what her mother-in-law recommended. She heard the advice, she received the advice, and she went forward with the advice. I know there's some folks I will not waste my time. It's like talking to a fence post. I just won't waste it. I'm just like, not going there. Just like talk. You got those folks, right? Like literally talking to a fence post. I want to be the kind of person that Ruth is in regards to receiving counsel, in regards to when I sit down with God's Word and what He has to say to me. I want to be a receiver. I want to be a wise person and do something with it. Ruth's request and Boaz's response. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and he turned to himself. And there was a woman lying at his feet and he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative." And then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you saw more kindness at the end than at the beginning. And in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for the people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman." Ruth continues in softness. She makes a request, not a demand. And how we approach a situation is paramount. How does demands work? They don't work too good. But a request is respectful. One of the things I want to teach my kids is you respect people. That's just part of my growing up. You respect people, whether they respect you or not. It takes no more effort to say thank you, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir. She makes a request. It happened at midnight that the man was startled. Of course Boaz is startled. He's guarding his grain. It's dark. He's awakened from sleep. "Who are you?" Boaz finds it's not a raider wanting to steal grain. It's a woman making a huge request. "Who are you?" She answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative." Take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative. Ruth is identifying and making a simple request. "Take your maidservant" shows that Ruth is once again humble and submissive. And she approaches her kinsman's redeemer as a servant. But look at the boldness of her request. "Under your wing." Basically, Ruth is boldly asking Boaz, "Marry me." I mean, this is high drama, man. I don't care what century you're in. Women are women. And for her to put herself out like that is huge. Huge. The phrase can also be translated, "Spread the corner of your garment over me." This was a way to say, "I'm a widow, take me as your wife." I like this. Man, they're not mentioning any words here. They're not hem-hawing around. See, that's what you get in dating. It's the wait and see. You just kind of, "Oh, well, I hope for the best." But see, if we really would trust, if single people would really trust the Lord with their singleness, they might be blown away how God would come through in a miraculous way. What Ruth is doing is not inappropriate. It's very bold, but it's not inappropriate. She understands that this is my kinsman redeemer. Okay? She knows who he is. And he's got a choice to make. Because in their culture, you know what? He needs to carry on Imelech's name. He's the Goel. It's on you, big guy. What are you going to do? Look at Boaz's response. Now, I'm just putting myself here. You know, I've just been whittling grain. I've been working. You know, I'm thinking, "Wow, man, look at all this. Man, we just had a big old time." How many guys like sleep? When you lay down, I mean, are you out? You like sleep? Okay, after a you're sleeping? You wake up thinking maybe somebody's fixing to roll up on you and steal your grain. You find out it's a woman. You don't know who this person is. And then you find out it's Ruth, and you're like, "What?" And then you marry me? Look at Boaz's response. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you show more kindness at the end than at the beginning." And then that you didn't go after young men, whether poor or rich. "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do what you request, for all the people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman." Boaz's response reveals more about his heart. When he says, Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. You did not go after young men. See, there must have been an age gap between these two. Boaz may even consider Ruth out of his league. Boaz probably didn't think he had a shot. Boaz is not a ladies' man. I can't stand ladies' men. I've been around them my whole life. They're the last kind of guys I would want in a foxhole with me. I can tell you that straight up. What's bad is some men never grow out of that. Never. I expect that out of a high school kid. I expect it even out of a college kid. I don't expect that out of somebody my age. Grow up. Be responsible. Boaz is a godly man, a humble man. See, Boaz could have played the kinsman redeemer angle, meaning there was a woman I won, I have a right. But Boaz was man enough not to force the issue of kinsman redeemer. Boaz would not force the issue unless Ruth desired it. I will do all for you that you request. See, Boaz thinks beyond himself, which is what godly men should do. And a couple of more thoughts here in regards to this romance based upon attraction. Do we know what Boaz looks like? Do we know what Ruth looks like? No, we know nothing of the physical attraction, but this is what we do know. There is attraction, but it's based in substance. Ruth did not go after younger men. Ruth was more concerned with who really was best for her, and who is best for her is Boaz. A godly man, a kinsman redeemer. Now what about Boaz? Why is Boaz attracted to Ruth? Well, it tells us, all the people of the town know that you're a virtuous woman. Boaz was also attracted to Ruth because of her character. We have no idea what these two look like, but we have a great idea of their character. Because at the end of the day, gravity always destroys physical appearance. Always. Believe it or not, my face did not used to look this broad. Really. I look at when we first got married. And I look at myself now, and my face has gotten wider, and I just look different. I don't look like the same guy. Why? Gravity. Characters last forever. Last forever. I read this in one of my commentaries. Literally, Boaz called Ruth a Hayalil woman. Probably mispronounced it, but in Hebrew it means strength. Moral strength, good quality, integrity, and virtue. The whole city knows who this lady is. I'm going to try to teach this to my kids. My son, I'm going to teach him this. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is a crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is a ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are continual dripping. I want to teach this to Abigail, Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. And that's just straight up truth. And that's what ladies' men are. You can't really put any confidence in them. Guaranteed. I've seen too many of them. See, friends, at the end of the day, character of the person is the most important thing. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night. In the morning, it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning. She arose before one could recognize another. And then she said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And then he said, bring a shawl that is on you and hold it. And when he held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. She went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? And then she told her all the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then he said, Sit still, my daughter, until you know the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he's concluded the matter this day. Boaz is not the kind of man to cut corners, by the way. He's not a manipulator. He's a godly man. He says, now it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay the night, and in the morning it shall be he will perform the duty of a close relative for you. Good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty to you, then I will perform for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning. See, I think that Boaz has maybe been doing his homework a little bit. Kind of checking out the scene. He understands there's a problem. There's someone closer relative than I. Apparently, Boaz recognized as a Goel towards Ruth, but there's another guy that's closer to Elimelech. The cool thing about it is, Boaz didn't try to cut any corners. See, Boaz is the kind of guy that's going to go talk to another guy, man to man. Say, hey, what are you going to do? You going to step up? Hey, here's Ruth. Are you going to step up? If not, man, I'm going to step in. I'm here. If he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I'll perform the duty for you. No shortcuts. Boaz is willing to do things God's way. That's the point. See, if this is really of the Lord, this near Redeemer is not a problem at all. If this is really of the Lord, it will work itself out. Boaz is willing to trust the Lord with it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. 14 and 15. So she lay at his feet until morning and arose, for no one could recognize. And she said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also she said, bring the shawl that is on you, hold it. And when she held it, she measured out the barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. Boaz is not trying to cover up anything, friends, when he says, do not let it be known. Boaz just wants to ensure the cat's not going to get out of the bag before he has a chance to talk to this other guy. So just keep it under your hat. He's a wise and godly man. He desires to have a man-to-man conversation. But notice this. He's not so focused on business that he ignores what's the most important thing to do right now. He gives her what she needs. Because what they need right now is food. And he sends her home that way. The most important person in front of us, the most important person in our lives is the person that's in front of us right now. See, he's not so caught up in, I got to go have this conversation, I got to get this, and I got that, and I got this. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. Before you leave here, I want to send something with you. This guy's a straight up catch, man. I'd like my daughter to marry him. No, if I go home to be with the Lord, I'd like someone like this cat right here to take care of my family, no doubt. And look what happens. So when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go away empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you have known how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Now let's put ourselves in Ruth's sandals for a moment. She's been on quite an emotional roller coaster ride. She approaches Boaz with a big time request. You're my kinsman redeemer, marry me. She hears Boaz says, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you shown more kindness at the end and the beginning, and you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you that your request, for all my people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman. She hears yes, but then she hears this. There's someone that's closer. I don't know about you. I know we can't just put ourselves, but you get it. People are people. It's a pretty emotional situation that's been going on here. I don't even think she probably rested that well that night. Do you? I don't think so. I mean, she's sleeping next to Boaz's stinky feet for one. I mean, come on, he's the only one that washed up for all we know. Once again, Naomi gives the best advice for this time. That's what we don't want to overlook. Sit still, my daughter. Just sit still. The man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Sit still, wait and see. Someone once said this is often the most difficult part of faith. when no more action can be taken, nothing remains but to wait patiently for God to work out His will. It is this moment doubts arise, anxiety creeps in. Sit still. I tell you what, man. Now, I've read through Ruth several times, and I'm no Rhodes Scholar on Ruth. I'm really digging in now, and I'm learning some stuff. But I never thought as highly of Naomi as I do now. This woman is, you think of everything that this lady's been through, she could have quit on God. You think about it. But she is on the brink of the Lord doing something incredible in her life. Sit still. Ruth, you've done all you can do. You've done all you can do. You can't do any more. All you can do is sit still. We'll see how the Lord will work things out for good next week, but for tonight, let's leave with this. And how Ruth approached her kinsman redeemer humbly and submissive. Is that not how we approach Jesus for the first time? Humbly and submissive. Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of grace that's been provided by your sacrifice. Romans 5, 8 through 9 says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, and while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. Should we not humbly stay at the feet of Jesus from dusk till dawn, staying in fellowship with Jesus? Jesus will give us what we need for today. Jesus never sends us away empty-handed. And you know what? If we've been in fellowship with Him, He gives us what we need and plenty to share with those around us. I love Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. For He died and your life is now hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, whose life appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Just sit still. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, has it all worked out. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You. I thank You for Your great patience and Your great kindness. I thank You, Lord, that You don't rest until You complete what You start. And oh, there's so much hope in that, Lord. All You ask us to do is take You at Your word. Oh, Lord, could we grow into folks that would take You at Your word and then just leave it with You. We thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. In Your name, amen. In Your name, amen. In Your name, amen. In Your name, amen. In Your name, amen.